What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
Man, I'm still figuring out what that truly means. Not religion's Adam, and not society's stigmatic and overly expectant definitions of manhood, which are contradictory on many levels to say the least. Nor the cookie-cutter scientific definition scribed across Britannica's pages. No, what does it mean and take to be a man? Outside of the norms, like knowing right from wrong, is it standing up, even though it's easier to sit down? Fighting adversity, loving, caring, protecting those who can't protect themselves? Is it all about honor, loyalty? Is it everything and nothing? What does it take to be a man?
Bars. Yeah, we starting it off on a grown man, but I'm going to have to take a hit from the e-cig on this one.
We back.
Yes. It is another episode of What is TWS Podcast. This is episode 23. And seeing as though it's episode 23, I'm going to get right into it. I had a plan for this episode, and then I realized like the date and the time and didn't really work for all that. So I had to switch it up. First, I want to send my thoughts and prayers out to my brother-in-law, Deuce Man Beats, Terry. He was in a car accident yesterday. Hit and run, you know, just horrible situation. Sounds like he's doing okay right now. But we will be launching a GoFundMe page to try to help him with some of the medical expenses. Hopefully we'll be able to find the driver and hold them accountable for some of this. But, you know, in the meantime, we're going to try to, you know, to support the young brother in any way that we can. So, again, I want to send my thoughts and prayers out to my brother-in-law, Deuce Man Beats. I know he had a lot of things, you know, to be happy about at the time. He was, you know, things were moving in the right direction for him. And so I hate to see a setback like this, but I'm sure he's going to bounce back. So, yeah, we love you, bro. But then it's so difficult to move from, like, that sentiment to everything I'm getting ready to say next. But I'm calling this getting the evil out because I want to do some good with this episode. But in order for me to be focused on positivity,
I mean, it's positivity coming up. We got some big congratulations coming up right now.
Yeah, we got some big congratulations coming up and some commiserations. But yeah, I got to get some of this evil out. So it was episode 23. My original idea was to make this a Michael Jordan episode because if you don't know. Rich knows, but if you don't know...
Here it comes, y'all. Get ready.
Let me see. List of people I hate. I'm trying to think if there's anyone above Mike on this list. Y'all can wait for it. Give me a second. Nah, I really think Michael Jordan is like at the top of my list of people like I hate. Like I
yes.
hate Michael Jordan.
Y'all right? heard correctly. This man just said he hates Michael Jordan.
And I'm like, hate is a strong word. And it's not strong enough to describe my feelings toward Michael Jordan. And he's done several things over the years to piss me off. One, I feel like he was the biggest like prima donna in the league. Like, you know, fighting with teammates. You couldn't say nothing he ain't like. You couldn't do nothing he ain't like. What he stole on Steve Kerr, you know, then doing dumb shit like wearing shoes that was too small, you know. And scoring 60 points, like just wearing regular shoes. Though that was no reason to put on some too small shoes and they'd be like, my feet hurt the whole game. It's your fucking fault, though. Put on regular size shoes. Your feet don't hurt. The whole flu game, I believe he was.
Yeah, he was fucked up. He was gone. Yeah. He wasn't sick.
You know, I mean, it's
a good story.
It's a hell of a feat that you can be hung over and still drop whatever he dropped on him that night.
That was amazing.
But fuck him for it. Like and then extended beyond that. Then it, you know, not to mention his basketball career because he did beat my Sonics in the finals that year, and I think. That's another reason why I hate Michael Jordan because I believe that was the year after his father passed, and I believe they gave him two games so they could come back to Chicago and win on Father's Day. I believe that was set up, and that was some more prima donna making, making something a little bigger than it needed to be. You knew you was gonna beat him. Just beat him and move it out the way. Don't do all the extra dramatic stuff. But then beyond the basketball career, then the shoe thing. He's raping our people for these goddamn shoes. Shoes that cost like $300.
I mean, I feel like
a suitcase and shit
like that. I feel like he was raping us. Well, raping him. I really don't be buying J's like that. I've graduated Benson's. I'm still a fan of J's. If I see him at the outlet, I'll pick him up. It hasn't really been a pair that I just needed to have. But I think his first wife like won the lawsuit like after the divorce some time ago. I think she got like the rights to a bunch of J's. So when they come out, like she get that money.
But he started like until Jordan's. You didn't have like he started certain marketing practices like until Jordan's. You didn't have shoes where they released the colorways, you know, in stages. It used to be a shoe drop. Here are all the colors. Come to the store, buy the color you want. When, you know, when Jordans got popular, it was like, I'm going to put the black ones out to launch.
Yeah.
And then we got the playoff version.
Because see, this way, you ain't got to choose. They know everybody going to want the black ones and the red ones and the white ones.
Right.
Why make them choose?
No.
I agree. He's raping them pockets.
Shoes coming in a briefcase. What the fuck? It was some basketball shoes.
Yeah, when those came out, oh man, them shits was like $220. Right. Everybody had to have them. We were still early high school. Everybody trying to pick them shits up. I'm like, damn.
Not to mention the private prison investment. Not to mention the Nori story.
So I hear the private prison thing is another Michael Jordan. I don't know. They say it's another man named Michael Jordan who happened to be donating.
I mean, I know Renee from Chicago, so you gotta, you know, you can't go but so far right now.
Oh, no. let's get this straight from now. I'm not sticking up for you. You've listened to my other rants on this episode. Chicago needs to get it the fuck together because these motherfuckers had 700 homicides in November. That was a motherfucking national like record and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to
make light of the homicides, but in my mind, I feel like it had to be a couple of them that was over Jordan. That's all I'm gonna say.
I believe it was more than a couple.
I believe it was quite a few.
It was more than a couple over. It was people
that was over Jay
who walked out of the sneaker store and got shot 5 feet from the door and got their Jordan stolen. Right. It was people that shot each other, knifed each other up online because somebody felt like somebody was trying to skip them.
Yeah.
It was people that got robbed online. It's people that showed up without money to buy the Jordans. And by the time they got to the front of the line, they had money for like four or five pairs of Jordans. So like that shit was...
You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, I don't know. When someone contributes so directly to, you know...
And to your point,
Nike, horrible shit happening to our people.
Yeah.
I find it hard to like that person.
Mikey and Jordan have both been under scrutiny, to your point, for that shit, for their release practices and purposely limiting releases and the violence that is causing because they're
having stores open
limiting
midnight,
colorways and
6
shit.
O'clock in the morning. It's crazy. And then, you know, not to mention the Nori story, where apparently Michael Jordan said fuck rappers or whatever, fuck rappers, fuck rap, fuck hip hop. I don't know.
Did he say that to Nori?
Nori overheard him saying it. We also, and then we have like the Chameleonaire story to back it up. The Chameleonaire says he asked him for an autograph or something like that. And, you know, he basically told him, fuck you. You know,
I heard that story. I never heard the Nori story, but I'm not discounting the Nori story. I'm inclined to believe that the type of person who Nori is,
he wouldn't say it unless it was real.
I feel like Nori wouldn't say it unless it was real. Two, I feel like Nori would have popped off on Jordan for saying that shit.
Nah, I think it's still Jordan. It's still Mike. Like, you know, you can't pop off.
You're right.
It's still Mike. But I think he brought up the story, said Mike was at the party. Somebody from Mike's camp, maybe not Mike himself, said he was never at the party. And then he had to drop a picture. Like, here's a picture of the dude at the party. Like, why y'all trying to just, you know, he was there. Like, at least admit he was there. Maybe he didn't. I'm saying I overheard him say something. Y'all could have said he didn't say it. But don't tell me he wasn't at the motherfucking
party. Don't make me feel like I'm stupid. I got proof.
He was at the party.
Yeah.
Hey, and then, I mean, I could go so far with it. Like, the whole, that what should have been his final shot. Oh, You know what? That brings me to another point. I'm from DC. I never really was a Bullets or Wizards fan. Mm-hmm. But he fucked us up. He destroyed the organization. He drafted Kwame Brown. Need I say more? He ran Rip Hamilton out of town. He ran so many good players out of town. Mm-hmm. Then he tried to play for us and continue
trying to be a motherfucking managing player and shit.
I think what should have been his final shot to beat the Jazz was a push off. Mm-hmm. I think he clearly grabbed Byron Russell on the ass and pushed him out of the way before he hit that jumper.
I think that whole
was calling it the greatest shot of all time.
I'm not mad at the whole Wizards. Let me rephrase that. Some shit went wrong there.
He was the GM.
As at me at that point in my in stage in my life, watching him, I was happy seeing Jordan play. But I feel like that whole Wizards everything could have been avoided. Yeah. He shouldn't have came back.
If you look at that Pistons team that went on, you know, to win a championship to beat the Lakers, we had a lot of those players were former Wizards. Mm-hmm. Ben Wallace played for the Wizards.
Yeah.
Rip Hamilton played for the Wizards. These were guys that got ran out of town under the Jordan regime. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I don't know. All right, but I'm going to get off that. Because they're bigger fish to fry tonight.
I'm surprised you ain't mentioned that missed dunk at the Olympics. Dunk? Yeah, I see.
I was fucking with the Dream Team.
About when the Wizards time, when he missed, when they made Vince Carter take a seat. So Jordan could play, and Jordan caught the steal, ran the floor, rimmed it. Yeah. But it is what it is. Bigger fish to fry.
Because tonight, you know, as much as I hate Jordan, I'm actually in a very good mood. And this is Team Petty. I know I shouldn't feel this good about it, but I do. Welcome to the offseason, Dallas Cowboys. We saved the seat for you.
Congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys. You guys made it.
Made it to vacation. And I'm gonna say some good things about the Cowboys to start. I'm gonna say I waited all season for Dak and Zeke to hit the rookie wall, and it never happened. They played well even in this playoff game. It's amazing to me, young dudes that have never played this many games in a season
to play at this level,
still playing at this level this late in the year. So I give y'all that, and it's gonna be rough to face those two for years to come. But, you know, all that Super Bowl talk, we can end that. We can dead that. You know, y'all home with the rest of us. See, we've saved a seat on the couch for you. Let me know what kind of wings you like. You know, cause we can all watch the Super Bowl together. The Cowboys are not going to Houston.
Man.
And it was beautiful, though. It was beautiful. Like, I started the game, and the Packers, you know, went up big. And I normally try not to talk shit early because I'm a Redskins fan. Mm-hmm. And as a Redskins fan, you learn quickly. You don't talk shit in the first quarter because the Redskins will find a way to lose a game in the next three. And I posted a couple things, and then I saw the game, like, not going my way, Cowboys coming back. And I'm like, exactly. I should have learned my lesson. You don't talk shit early because it's going to come back on you. But shout out to Mason Crosby for kicking 2 50-plus yard field goals at the end of the game to win it. I've said it all year, fuck the Cowboys. I still feel that way. And again, it's not really the Cowboys because I like Dak and Zeke. You know, they really haven't done anything to bother me. I hate Cowboy fans. So I'm glad that y'all are here in the offseason with the rest of us and enjoy it because I am. And I know I shouldn't care this much. I know, like, this is fuel for Cowboy fans. Like, tomorrow is going to be a whole bunch of, you know, all y'all, you know, this shows how much y'all love us because you talk about us so much. I agree.
Damn, here they go. The memes are rolling in.
What
do Cowboys and the post office have in common?
Uh-oh.
Neither one of them delivers on Sunday. Man, the memes are rolling in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I know Cowboy fans are going to use this tomorrow. Like, y'all talk about us so much. Y'all talk about us because you love us or whatever. And I wholeheartedly agree with y'all. Like, we do talk about the Cowboys too much. But it don't take away from how much I'm enjoying the moment right now. So I'm enjoying it. Welcome to the off season. Great game. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I wouldn't have enjoyed it at all had y'all found a way to pull it out. So pause. But
I was about to say.
But yeah, fuck the Cowboys. All right. So that is, that's me getting the evil out, because you know, we want to do something more positive with this episode. So I needed to get those things out before we moved on. And, you know, I'm going with this quote from the great Martin Luther King. I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear. So I've gotten my hate out. Woosah. How you do that? That Tai Chi shit, like out with the bad energy and then in with the good energy. We move. All right. I know you probably still got some hate, but I got mine out.
I got a little bit.
I'm going to let, I'm going to turn the floor over to you, Rich.
So, I mean, we had it written down. You had something about some eavesdropping at a restaurant.
Yes.
And it just reminded me of a situation I had at a restaurant earlier today. So, took my fiance out for brunch. It's a nice day. Not really a nice day. It was rainy. It was nasty. But you know what? We were together. So, for me, it was a nice day.
Aww.
Brownie points. So...
Sucker for love, man.
Took Renee out for lunch. I mean, for brunch. Decided to hit up the downtown. Why not? We haven't been downtown in a while.
Yeah, y'all been talking about that last night.
Yeah, we haven't really been downtown in a while. We decided to go to Gordo's.
Gordo's.
So okay. We went to Gordo's downtown. The one we went, we took Dave to for his thing. Got the nice big truck in the front.
Yeah.
Walk in the place. You know, waitresses are like, oh, hostesses are like, oh, seat yourself anywhere.
Yeah.
Big glass table at the front. We just sat right there. You know, all of the high tops. Everywhere is busy. We didn't want to sit in between two people. We want to sit together, have a nice conversation, have a nice meal.
Yeah.
Soon as we sit down, the couple behind us, the female, turns around and she looks at us.
Are you sure she's female? No.
She looks at us like we were bothering her. And then her boyfriend, husband, whatever he was, her date, like he kept looking at me. So like she kept like shuffling in her chair and like looking over her shoulder at the corner of her eye. And then every time she turned to tell him something, he would look up and he would look at me to see if like I'm overhearing it, as if like she, like that look when you know she was saying something disrespectful,
right?
And he's looking just to make sure it's staying between them,
right?
So
he needs to know whether he needs to run or not.
Exactly. So he just feeling all types of uncomfortable, so he kept looking at me, so I kept motherfucking looking at him. He kept looking at me and I kept looking at him. He kept looking at me and I kept looking at him. I ain't gonna switch it up. The days of me feeling uncomfortable because you feel uncomfortable are gone. I'm not gonna try to placate you. I'm not gonna turn and avert my eyes. I'm not gonna look down at my shoes. I'm not gonna switch my chair.
Yeah.
That's your personal shit. So we sitting there and he just fidgeting and he trying to like broaden up his shoulders while he looking at me. So I sit up straight in my chair like, what the fuck? You're not intimidating me. Then in comes a group of niggas. Three Hispanic dudes, four black dudes. I'm talking about athletic gear, basketball shorts,
right?
Jordan.
I mean, you're not far from
the UT campus. It's right there.
That could have been the basketball team. Mm-hmm.
They probably was, because these are some big motherfuckers. Right. These are some big dudes. So they all come in and he like goes from squaring his shoulders up to completely hunched down. He puts his fork and knife in his plate and he starts like twirling and wrapping his hands up in his shirts like, oh my God, what's going to happen to me? I'm like getting mad scared. As soon as it happens, his fiance, girlfriend, wife, date, whatever the fuck she was, gets up, goes to the bathroom. So he's sitting there by himself. I'm sitting across from him in the front. Group of black dudes sitting in the back. He just like stops eating. It's like, fuck it. He stops eating. She comes back from the bathroom. They're like, oh. Time to go. Let me get the check.
You unruly people. Y'all ruined his meal.
God damn our presence. Our presence alone ruined these white folk meal. Ain't that some shit? They got up. The food was on a plate. Drinks was on the table. They went, cashed out, and left.
Yeah.
Ain't that some unruly shit?
And I was telling you, because you texted me this morning, I guess, while some of this was going on. And I'm like, yeah, like that was like... The petty opportunity, like that's, oh man, I told you what I want to do. I've been talking to Tammy. I've been like, man, and if I see that motherfucker again, I'm shooting him on sight. Ain't gonna snitch on me like that no more or something, you know. But I'm telling you, or it's the patented move. You just hit him with the, I ain't going back.
That would have been hilarious. That would have made him shit his pants. Yeah. He would have shit his pants. Yeah, like and the thing is, you know us. We are far from the type of people that should be
feared.
I don't look fucking intimidated.
You got the beard. It's the beard.
It's got to be the beard. I'm the least intimidating walking around ass person There is. We both work for Fortune 500 companies. We both small business owners. We fucking entrepreneurs up in here. Like, we're not thinking about violence or any of that other shit. Yet they see a person of color, and that's all. That's all they think. The rappers and the bullshit that you see online. And the first thing that came to mind was that Kanye song. And the first thing that popped in my head. Excuse me. I'm black man, and the Benz is still a nigga in a coupe. Yeah. And it's right. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Doesn't matter how I'm dressing. Doesn't matter how I articulate myself. That's all they see.
And I probably do the wrong thing because I feed into it. I get so much enjoyment out of the fact that somebody, for no reason, you know, feels threatened by me. Yeah. Then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna give you a reason to feel threatened by me. Like I told you, I'd have said some shit about, you know, shooting a nigga on sight next time I seen him. I might have, you know, if he was looking at me that hard, I might have been like, oh, yeah, nice watch.
Right after you told me to do that, I was looking. I was like, damn, he got any jewelry on? Yeah. He ain't have no chain on, no watch, nothing. I was looking.
What size are them shoes, dude?
I was, man. Renee was like, what you doing? I was like, Jared told me to look at his watch.
Like, yeah, nice watch, homie.
He ain't had no watch on.
How much like, that damn. Cost?
And she was all frumpy and crooked in the face. I ain't even want to look at her no more.
But like, oh, you get that bracelet for your girl? Where you get that from?
That would have been a good one. I was like, you know what?
Hey, you looking at me? Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. I was like,
you know what? MLK Day is tomorrow. Let me leave it alone.
What kind of car you drive, dude? Is that your Lexus outside?
I was like, let me leave it alone. You know, I'm just going to sit here, enjoy my Gordos. My meal was good. Yeah. I was like, screw it. F it.
I'd have made him sweat. He'd have left way earlier. Fucking around with me, and then I might have got so petty that I'd have been like, "Hey, babe, you want to have some fun? Like, let's leave too. Let's go. Let's follow these things." Now you can't do that right now because they'd have called the police or something, and then we got shot in the street.
And then I was about to say that the whole thing with them trying to repeal and change these gun laws and shit.
It's open carry out here.
Yeah, he definitely his Under Armour shirt was too tight to hide any guns, but he probably has some in the glove compartment.
Right. So yeah, I might have taken it too far. I got myself killed, but. That's me. That's a life in Team Petty. You know, these are the risks I take.
But yeah, so that's my rant. That's my morning. I just had to get that out.
I think I had the opposite experience where I assumed racism, and it may not have been the case, but hey, we were at Kirby Lane, and there was a family right next to us that was having a conversation. And it was just like, you know, my mom used to say when she was listening, when I tried to get her to listen to rap music. She's like, I can't understand it. All I hear is the curse words. And like, all I hear is blah, 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 fuck, blah, 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 bitch. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's selective hearing.
That's selective hearing. It's like, all I heard was blah, 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 Trump, blah, 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 Muslims, blah, 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 KKK. Like, and I think they were having a conversation with their kids about politics and they probably were like against Trump, which is why they were talking about him so much. But, you know, at the time in my head, I was just waiting to hear like,
It's one of those things. At this point, his name and anything else, it's like a hot button. It's a hot trigger. Like it just sends you completely left.
Because it's not so much. I posted this on a tweet earlier today that it's not even so much him that bothers me. It's the way his presence emboldens all the other ones. You know, I'm not really gonna have no dealings with Trump. As president, you know, I'm hoping that we have the right people in place to kind of fight some of these things. And some of the moronic stuff that he plans on doing just isn't going to work anyway. So it'll all, like, work itself out. But it's the people that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Yeah,
he brings the wrong out of people.
Right. Because I saw him post something where he's like, Obama was such a horrible president that we won't have another black president for generations. And it was, like, that comment, to me, coming from the president-elect is... you know, horrific, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was when I look at that tweet, at the time I looked at it, it had 25,000 likes.
Mm-hmm.
25,000 people out there who thought that was appropriate to say. Thought that was cool and are cool enough to say, I can outwardly and openly, you know, say that that's good. Like we used to have people who maybe felt that way, but didn't feel comfortable enough saying it in public or doing it in public. And now it's like, whatever, you know. It's a double-edged sword. On one end, I have to deal with it more. Like, you know, it's coming at me. They're not hiding. So you see it. It comes at you. You hear it. You know, you got to deal with it. And on the other hand, it's like, you know, at least I know now my enemies aren't hidden. They ain't snakes in the grass mm-hmm. no more. These joints is visible.
And to go further with it too, like to your point, it's just right. One, so we had the episode on shaming. These are the people who should be being shamed.
Yeah.
Two, people not saying it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So the fact that they're saying it, at least we know it's out there. At least we know it's real.
I can see you.
But at the same time, why? Like, I don't understand how we've gotten to the point where it's okay, where it's accepted, where this is now racism, open racism and bigotry, for all intents and purposes, is now a norm and accepted in the United States of America.
Because
right. that should not be.
We got to, and this is what scares me the most, is that the difference in the sides is so great. Like, mm-hmm. we have people who are, you know, upset that Obama's, you know, farewell to Obama, best president we ever had, blah, blah, blah. And then you got people who are, Trump has done more in the, you know, before the inauguration than Obama did in 8 years. And the biggest mistake we got people who are saying the biggest mistake we ever made was electing Trump. And you got people that are saying the biggest mistake we ever made is electing Obama. Like, we are so far apart.
Yeah, there's no middle ground.
I don't know how we're going to find this middle ground.
And my thing is, in just speaking purely factual, and I'm trying to be calm about this, but in what fucking world has Obama been the worst president? What the fuck has he done in the past 8 years that was worse than all of the fucking wars that the Bushes have launched?
And so when I listened to Obama's farewell speech, he said a couple things to me that really stood out. And to speak on your point, one of the things that he said, oh man, and I retweeted, I wish I could find like exactly the quote so I don't mess it up. But basically, I think what he was saying was that we use our opinions to decide what's fact now, rather than basing our opinions off of fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've said this before about what I hate about the internet. I hate the internet because there's so much information that you can find numbers or you can find a study or whatever
to support any stance,
right? Yeah. Even two, you know, completely opposite stances, you'll find evidence mm-hmm. to support either way. If you look at the numbers this way, it looks like this. But if you look at the numbers this way, it looks like this. I saw an article posted the other day that was saying like Obama dropped 28 bombs a day or something during his administration. And, you know, and that's one way to look at the numbers. If you look at the numbers another way, it doesn't look, you know, quite so bad. Like, part of it was he pulled troops out of mm-hmm. he pulled ground troops out of certain areas because he wanted to bring our troops home, and so a lot of the attacks were done via drones. So there were more bombs dropped than previous presidents because he was trying to get ground troops out of these areas and bring our people home. So like I said, we have these completely, you know, opposing stances, and depending on how you want to look at the numbers, you can find support for it, and people are choosing, you know, which things to believe mm-hmm. based on what already suits what they think.
Their agenda.
So, you know, if I hate Obama, I can find numbers to say Obama was horrible. If I love Obama, I can find numbers to say Obama was great, you know. And that's just the way the world works right now. So you can't, it seems very difficult to, like, have an argument with someone, a convincing argument, when, the facts don't exist. Like, facts are...
People are too emotionally invested to listen to logic.
No, and there is no more logic. Logic, you know, it's just, there is no more black and white. Like, this is why I've been fighting for so long about...
Actually, it's all black and white right now.
But people refuse to see black and white. Black and white can't exist. Black. Mm-hmm. If you break things down to black and white, and when I say black and white, I'm not meaning race. I know somebody out there is like, why does it always got to be black and white? Mm-hmm. Nah, when you break things down to on or off... You know, one or the other, people don't like that. You can't be male or female. It got to be like six and eight, and the different categories mm-hmm. keep growing every day. You can't be this or that. They don't want labels. They want everything to be so fluid that nothing means anything.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, so it's defeating, it's doing away with logic. It's doing away with anything that you could ever use to win an argument, because nothing, everything is fluid. Everything can move. Oh, you see it this way, but if I just nudge it a little bit like that, it looks completely different. Or if I cover this eye, it looks completely different, you know? I don't know. That's how I hate the internet. I fucking, like, doing this podcast, I know how important, like, social media and all this stuff is for promoting and stuff. But, like, Twitter is the devil. I hate that shit. But I got to be, you know, I got to do it. I think I played around with that hashtag last night, new slogans for Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I probably got a couple good ones. I don't even remember. But I was on some Twitter hate. I'm surprised I didn't get, like, blocked or something, shut down, get the account fucked.
Hope we don't.
Hey. If anybody can do it, it's me, Rich. I'm working. So I'm working real hard. What did I threw some good ones out there. Protecting trolls from extinction since 2006. New Twitter slogan.
So,
Land of the Keys, home of the internet brave.
So this is a bad segue, but one of the things you had listed was something that I periodically do. Kaepernick donating his shoe collection.
Dope.
Before I left New York, donated a lot of shoes, gave away a lot of stuff. Periodically, I'll gather up stuff, shoes, clothing, whatever that I don't use, and I'll donate it.
Yeah.
So let me know, how did you feel about him donating his sneaker collection?
Because, you know, I was off the Kaepernick bandwagon. Like, when he didn't vote, I was like, fuck him. Like, you know, he lost all respect for me. I don't know if these are attempts to remain relevant. Like, you know, because, you know, his he can't kneel anymore. That's done. You know, he did lose a lot of people with the not voting thing. And if this is just, you know, but it just honestly looks like he is trying in several different ways to do good for his community. You know, donating jersey sales. You know, like I said, not voting is a big, like, the fuck, like, you know, not voting fucked me up. Like, it took a lot away. It took a lot of the respect I could have had from him away. But from what I hear, he's a huge, you know, sneakerhead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to just pick up and say, I'm going to donate my entire sneaker collection to, you know, charities, to homeless shelters and stuff like that. I mean, I think you don't see other people doing this. I got to give him kudos for it.
I'm up in the air about it. Yeah. So on one hand, okay, cool, you donated your sneaker collection. How many people in a homeless shelter is wearing Kaepernick size?
No, I'm thinking you auction them joints off. Like, those got to be sold, and the proceeds go to these people.
So that's what I'm thinking. If that's the case, then why? That's going to take money too. So now you take all of these shoes that, one, they're worth something because it's a limited edition sneaker collection. Two, they're worth even more because they were Kaepernick's, and he himself handled them, wore them, signed them, did whatever he did, and now he's giving them to the charities. And then now the charity has to put together a program to sell them or do whatever. Dude, it would have been easier for him to write a check. You know, I can understand the gesture, but that's just putting more work on the charities. And 9 out of 10, they're not going to get the money that the shoe is actually worth anyway.
Yeah, but then, they get something that they didn't have.
Yeah.
Prior to
then for them to have to spend all the money to get the shoes out there, to sell the shoes, to do whatever for the shoes. And then once you do all of that, now you got to pay the people and pay the workers that did everything. And then after whatever's left, this percentage goes to this person, this person. You know what I mean? It's like, it was too much. I can understand. I see the gesture he was trying to make. But coming from his means, like, he could have just wrote a check. And I hate to be one of those guys that say, you know, oh, you're not doing enough. It's not that I don't think he's doing enough. I just think it would have been easier and more cost effective for the charities and the people and for the end result if he would have just wrote a check. Yeah. Wrote a motherfucking check.
I see that. I see that. But, you know, at the same time, like, in my mind, it was over. Like, I'm not expecting nothing from Kaepernick. Yeah. Like, anything.
And that's what makes me think about the other thing. Like, is he just also trying to stay relevant? Relevant.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, though? Anybody else could have done it. Beckham could have, you know, given his shoe collection or whatever. Anything that meant something to him. I mean, it seemed almost more symbolic than monetary. Like, I'm a sneaker person. I've built this collection.
And see, my other thing with that is too. A lot of these professional athletes, they didn't buy those shoes anyway.
True.
So technically, Nike just donated sneakers to the homeless.
But Nike didn't. Let's get that. Nike and Jordan and all, they didn't donate a motherfucker.
I mean, Nike donates a lot, actually.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's one of the things I like about them. But yeah, so I get the point you're making. I'm just saying, I mean, it's not like, he gave away some free shit.
He lost some cool points and he gained a few back from me, with that gesture. And so now I think we're kind of, we've taken a long road here, but I think we're ready to like get to this. Like we're releasing this episode on Martin Luther King Day. We're recording it on a Sunday, which
is get to the nitty gritty.
So today is his actual birthday, right? Is mm-hmm. All right. So today is the actual birthday. Tomorrow is the day. And so yeah, we wanted to hit some topics that we thought would be relevant to Martin Luther King and his legacy. And I think, you know, Obama's farewell speech, was a big moment for us as a people. And like I was telling you earlier, when I was talking to my mom, like I think some of what gets lost when we talk about MLK is that it seems to be all like what he did for black people or what he did, you know, for a certain race. But Martin Luther King did more than just represent or fight for the rights of black people. When we're talking, I mean, at the time, civil rights mostly meant black people.
Yeah, it was more than civil, like we were saying earlier. It was equal rights.
It was equal rights. He was, you know, like I said, when he got shot and when he got assassinated, he was there not on a quote-unquote black mission. I mean, he was there to help some underpaid mm-hmm. poor workers, you know, a workers union. You know, he wasn't there on strictly a racial thing. You know, Martin Luther King was more about helping people who were in need, mm-hmm. helping those who needed help, helping those who were oppressed, you know, regardless of, color or creed, you know. I think a lot of that gets missed sometimes when we talk about Martin Luther King. And then the big thing for me, because I was really like struggling with like how to approach this. Like, but you know, what do I want to say really about Martin Luther King and his legacy and how that applies to where we are right now? And talking to my mom, I kind of figured it out. And we talked about this briefly before we started recording. I'm seeing this new like movement. So and social media plays a big part in it. I think social media has made it where it's more important to project a certain mm-hmm. image or like put words out there, you know, write a post that, you know, sounds good and uses flowery language and seems inspirational or, you know, and not so much the substance and the works behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. I know some good brothers that are doing the actual work. And a lot of those guys probably could benefit from more social media, you know. Mm-hmm. When I look at ttcharities.org and my brother Tavares, every time he posts something, I try to, you know, repost it and push it out to as many people as mm-hmm. I can. And I talk about it every time on the podcast because I think he's probably so busy doing the actual work, he doesn't have time to,
time to actually, you know, project his own voice.
Project that image that some of these people who are just sitting at home typing 140 characters, you know, to look good are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, you know, disagreements with people around the election about voting and about our participation in the system and how the system isn't built for us and don't vote in the Electoral College and all this is bullshit and blah, blah, blah. Don't put your faith in man and, you know, put your faith in God. And I completely agree with it. Don't put your faith in man. Put your faith in God. But I think you have to go deeper than that. Like, you can't just say God. You can't just say, you know, God. I put it in God's hand, and that's mm-hmm. the end of it. And I think Martin Luther King's legacy speaks a lot to that. Like, Martin Luther King was a man of God, and he didn't just sit home and pray, and he didn't tell people. Yeah, he didn't tell people wait for God. He said, you know, God has charged us with taking care of each other, with being my brother's keeper. And we got to get out, and we got to do. Like, there's, you can't just wait on God. Like, God is just going to take care of it. I'm just going to sit still.
And and to your point, the thing about that is, you're waiting on God for a solution. How exactly do you think God is going to fix this?
Yeah.
He's going to use you as a tool.
Yeah.
He's going to work through you. So by you sitting there, he gave you the passion. You know, he gave you the charge. You know, he told you what needs to be done. But by you saying, no, you know, I'm just going to wait for you to handle it. He told you what to do to handle it. And by you being here, nothing is getting done.
Right. He gave you an opportunity to make your voice heard. Mm-hmm. Gave you an opportunity to get out there and do something. And so that's my challenge to people in terms of Martin Luther King's legacy. Let's not waste that legacy. It's a legacy of work. It's not a legacy of rhetoric. It's not a legacy of flowery language. I mean, mm-hmm. he was a great speaker. Had some of the greatest speeches mm-hmm. Of all time. Words that still echo with people. To this day, but beyond the words was the work.
And that's the part that this younger generation especially does not get. And people are starting to learn, all of these empty and so-called emboldened words are beginning to fall on deaf ears.
It's empty rhetoric. But again, my message for this year and since we've been doing the podcast, I'm really trying to reach this point of, personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. I see problems with the youth, and I see things that I see young people doing that I don't agree with, but I think it serves us better. It serves me better to take personal responsibility for it and say, what can I do to help change the way these young people see things? I don't want to just sit and say, look at these young people and the dumb shit they say, even though I'd be looking at it like that. Look at these young people and the mm-hmm. dumb shit they say. Kodak Black. Perfect example. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Man. But beyond just like sitting and looking at Kodak Black and saying, he's a stupid mother. Like, I got to figure out what I could be doing better to influence them to be doing better. Mm-hmm. What can I do to light a fire under them? And what do I need to lead by example, which is what I'm trying to do with this podcast, with this company. Let's get out. Let's be a voice. Let's have a platform. Let's do some things. Let's encourage people mm-hmm. to pursue their dreams. Let's show people that we're pursuing our dream. Let's get
example.
Out there and lead by example. But I'm trying to. I encourage people. I don't want to keep pointing the finger. I don't want to keep saying, "Look at that darkness." Like, we know the darkness is over there. Everybody has seen the darkness. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
But what defeats darkness is light. Let's just be the light.
Instead of
keep talking about the darkness, just be the light. So instead of talking about what we shouldn't be doing or what not to participate in or what's against us or what's not for us, be the thing, be the change that you want to see. Be the mm-hmm. thing.
It's got to start
somewhere. Be the beginning of that movement. Be the first step. Be the second step. Be the third step. Be whatever. But be something. Like, do something. Take it upon yourself to make a difference, to make any difference.
Yeah, you can't complain if you're not exercising your voice, if you're not doing anything right, doing yourself. If you're not contributing to the solution, right. You can't really complain about the problem. Right.
And that's what I think we need to take from Martin Luther King's legacy, that he was a man of God who acted. And he acted when it put his life in danger. He acted when it put his family's mm-hmm. life in danger. He acted when it meant he was going to lose his freedom and go to jail. Mm-hmm. He acted even though he probably understood it was going to be a young life. He wasn't going to live long. He knew he wasn't going to see certain days.
The cause and the belief was absolutely bigger than a man. He absolutely believed in his convictions 100%.
And so, that's my message for Martin Luther King Day. It's like, let's get past the social media and the cool sounding, inspirational sounding words and the memes and the posts and the say amen, type amen or don't mm-hmm. scroll past this. Let's get past some of that and get to the actual work. Like, what can we do? Because typing amen is not doing anything.
No.
Saying God is not doing anything.
No.
If we got to march with trumpets until the walls fall down, we got to do something. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's got to be some action behind it. And as Martin Luther King was a man of God, but he was a man of action as well.
Exactly.
And that's what I take from his legacy, and that's what I want to try to embody in everything that we do here at TWS and what is TWS, and that's my message to the people today. All right. I feel so much better. I'm ready to talk about Kodak Black, but I need to get you
a say it with your chest.
I need to let you
know. No, but I agree. It's a very good message. Like I said, it's something we were speaking about earlier. this is a conversation that stems from many a conversation we've had before this. And this obviously is just a culmination of that. And it's something that we're going to continue to work towards. That's been our mantra since day one. You know, faith without works is dead. We didn't even know how to start a podcast, but we had faith, you know, that God was going to point us in the right direction. So therefore we started working towards it.
Right.
You know, faith without works is dead. And anything you want to do in life, you can't expect to be successful or get to that next stage or that next level, and you're not putting any work in. That's just asinine.
Yeah.
To think that that could happen. It is. So I agree. That's a great message to take from this. You know, stop saying God got it. You know, God evidently showed you the way. That's how he got it. Now, what are you going to do with this information? What are you going to do with this in life?
God got your back.
Yeah.
You got to go out there.
Yeah.
You got to step out there on faith. But, yeah. And I'm not even that, you know, I'm not like the super religious type.
Yeah.
But that's what I, you know, when I thought about Martin Luther King, I'm like, man, here's a perfect example of a man of God, you know, someone who you cannot really question his conviction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he got out there, he went beyond the words. It was not just speeches and letters. No, and whatever.
It wasn't empty rhetoric.
It wasn't empty rhetoric. It was work.
He lived what he preached.
It was work. So, you know, I encourage everybody to go out there and work. And not all of it has to be, you know, I'm picket something, I'm a protest something. No. I said, just pursuing your dream. Just being an example for other
empower
people.
Empower yourself.
Empower yourself.
People don't realize, in empowering yourselves, you silently light a light and light a fire in other people.
Yeah.
And it lets them know that, you know, they can empower themselves and they can follow exactly. their dreams as well.
Like when you're in a group and everybody doing nothing, everybody's comfortable doing nothing. Let one person start making moves mm-hmm. in the right direction and watch nobody want to get left behind.
And we've all been there. It happened to me the other day. We was in the house, just finishing dinner. You know, we were relaxing, being lazy. Renee gets up, wants to wash the dishes.
Now you feel pressure.
What I'm going to do. Right. I can't just sit there and I got to, you washing this, all right, boom. I'm going to go in the bathroom. I'm going to clean the bathroom. Right. Now I'm going to clean the office. You know,
I want to fold clothes for you.
It's you silently and that's a layman example, but yeah. it rings true. Exactly. Like it takes one person to ignite the fire and, you know, set that flame ablaze for other people.
Yeah. And I'm saying like positive steps have momentum. Like, mm-hmm. like you said, like this part, I look at what we've done in the 3 months that we've been doing this and
yeah, we're a lot further along.
And we took some momentous steps, but it's because in my mind, it's because positivity or positive steps have momentum. Once you take one, mm-hmm. it's easier to take two and then three and then it gains momentum. It looks uphill, but when you start making mm-hmm. them steps, it starts feeling downhill. Like you have that drive behind you. So making that next step doesn't mm-hmm. seem as daunting, as hard.
And I feel like we absolutely take every single step with nothing but faith, nothing but prayer. And
trying shit, don't work. Trying shit.
Switch it up. Yeah. And I feel like we're just gonna keep going. And other thing, you know, every time you take a step, every time you grow, you get to the next level. You know, the work ethic has to change accordingly. And that's something that I keep, you and I had a few conversations. That's something that I'm reminding myself of as well. You know, you go to work every day, you know, you're a fry cook and you do your best. And, you know, now you're the manager. You can't be a manager putting forth the same work that you did as a fry cook. You have to be your best as a manager and then do your best as a district manager and so on and so forth. You know, as the accomplishment grows.
I got to pour some squirt.
As the accomplishment grows, you know, so does the expectation. And, you know, you have to grow along with that. So you can't just rest on your laurels. Once you reach one goal, what does it take to reach the next one? And then the next one. And then the next one. And the work, level of work you put out has to be commensurate with that.
But it's like tattoos, man. Once you get the first one, you'd be like, all
right. Yeah, I'm up to 12 right now. I need some new ink.
I'm slacking. I need to get a couple. I'm in Austin. I should hit someone, one of these people up. You know who I need to hit up? One of my homies I went to high school with. We was in ROTC together, Johnny Stone. It sounded like a Mortal Kombat character. that's my homie, though. I see he's out there. He's doing the art. And I think he said he is starting at a tattoo shop or has, like, what do they call it? Like a fellowship or
apprenticeship?
Apprenticeship, mm-hmm. or something. So hopefully by the time I get back home, he might be ready to go. He can help me hook up some of this stuff. That's, I got these dope prison tattoos right now. These things look, I'm proud of them, though.
I got two or three I want to get redone or done over or covered up. But yeah, we passed actually a nice looking spot near our place called Little Pricks Tattoo Shop.
See, I can't do it, Rich.
Little Pricks. I mean, they were speaking towards pricks of the pricks of the needle and not the prick of the prick.
I get the joke.
But I mean, I don't know. I looked them up. Their work looks pretty good. Yeah, so.
I got to get past some of that. But so, you know, I still, the no money, no honey socks are still sitting on the desk. No, I can't. It's still in the wrapper. I ain't taking.
I figured out where that came from, too. Shit. And I meant to tell you, and I forgot.
I know you told me.
It was
Deadshot.
Yeah.
Will Smith said it.
It was in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Will Smith said it in Suicide. Deadshot said it in Suicide Squad. And I was like, oh, shit. That's where that came from. I had no idea.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna feel like Deadshot when I put them on. I don't know.
But shout out to Suicide Squad. Shout out to Cody
for letting you watch
Suicide. Suicide Squad.
Because I think
that was much appreciated.
I rented it on Amazon for like $4.99.
No way.
All right. So we've I got the evil out. Then we went positive for a minute. We talked about the MLK message. And in the MLK message, we mentioned one of the current events that has recently transpired that has me perplexed, and that I need some help with.
I don't even think, and I'm usually good for spinning shit, and I can usually shine a good light.
You can't find one
on anything. I don't know what the fuck.
Y'all motherfuckers got to tell me why this nigga's famous. Like, why is Kodak Black?
I don't know.
I haven't heard any of his music.
Wasn't he a part of the freshman class?
Yes. I mean,
why?
But we've clearly seen that XXL doesn't give
a fuck
about their freshman class. Cause this, and maybe it's just I'm old and I don't get this new music.
See, I don't, first of all, by today's millennial standards, they may consider us old. I don't think we're old.
I'm old.
I don't think I'm old.
I'm old.
However, I don't think that I'm that out of touch that's popping. That should be considered popping.
Let me help you out, Rich. So Patrice O'Neal once said this, you know. So when you do the math on like the life expectancy of white people versus the life expectancy of black people, at 35 where I am, I'm about like 115 years old in white years. I'm old, Rich. I'm old. I'm tired. I don't want to go to no club. We could have went to see. We could have went to see DJ Maceo last night, but we decided. I just didn't want to go downtown to be around all the young people. I'm like, I hit this hookah spot. I'm gonna stay here till midnight. I'm staying out late anyway, mm-hmm. but I'm chilling in a chair. I drank some Turkish coffee with my pinky out and some peppermint tea. And that's my old man life. That's the life I live right now.
I think it's something to that Patrice O'Neal thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm not gonna list it, but the shit that I've seen in my 33 years, it could have been spread out a little bit more. That was some condensed ass shit.
You're at least 100 years old.
Yeah, that's too much.
You up there though? So here's my advice to the youth. And this new movement of music. I don't understand the music, but I don't have to. Like, I feel like I've reached that age where, like, I look at the new music like it's noise, the same way my mother looked at music I listen to like it's noise. And I get that, all right? So, if this is the music that you like, whatever, dope, you know, keep making it, enjoy yourself. I don't agree with it, but who am I? Stop letting these people speak in public, though. Don't let them talk.
Especially when they got bags and shit on their head. Like,
they're going to put a ski mask on?
Who doesn't interview in a ski mask?
Ski mask.
And see, and this is what gives the rest of the nation, you know, this thought.
This is why they were scared of you
at brunch. Because they think that's what we are about.
Kodak Black.
You know, it is a difference, and we said it before.
I'm not a photographer,
I'm gonna get some flack on it. I don't care. There's a difference between a black man and a nigga. He was clearly a nigga at that interview. Clearly, who does an interview with a ski mask on their face?
But this is like I've heard people say, like Kodak Black is what hip hop needs right now. I need explanation. And this is when I say these things, people, please understand I'm sincere. I sincerely want someone who understands this, whatever it is, this Kodak Black, this Lil Yachty. If you understand this and you can break it down for me as the appeal and what it means to you, I would love to hear it because I just can't.
Man, I don't get it.
My mind,
I don't get it. How is that what hip hop needs?
Hey, I can't figure it out. So if you hear this, if you hear this and you know someone who possibly could explain it to me, I really want to know. Like I'm dead ass serious that I would like an explanation. I would like to understand.
I think we need more Cole, more Talib, more Lupe.
That's old people music.
I don't know.
My mother Cole once said to me. Shit. My mother once said to me, when I tried that when I was a kid, I was listening to The Roots and Common, and I would be trying to play her songs and get her to listen to the lyrics, you know, and see the whatever they were saying. And she'd be like, I don't listen to music to learn something. This is my mother. Like my mother's, you know, my mother's got the equivalent of a PhD. Mm-hmm. You know, she's an English teacher. She majored in history. My mother who reads the Declaration of Independence every 4th of July, who can recite all 4 verses of the national anthem. Did you motherfuckers know it was 4 verses to the national anthem? My mother can hit them all on you. She's an educated woman. She don't listen to music to learn that. Right? And maybe that's these people don't listen to music to get anything from it. They just want whatever it is they want. I don't understand what that thing is.
You're probably right.
Somebody help me out. So what's the difference? Like, why was it that we hit a point where we did listen to music in a more... I don't even know how to say... We listened to music for artistic merit. So, like, we wanted lyrics. We wanted, like... You know what I'm saying? There's songs you can recite word for word right now. You probably haven't heard them in, like, 10 years.
Spitting
you still can spit it word for word.
We did that right the other day. We were in the house the other day. And Renee was just talking. We were talking, and like she did like a little medley real quick.
Yeah.
And I was like, sing something. She's like, you want me to sing? Feels like, yeah. And we just went full acapella, knocked out a whole song.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck it. And then I started singing. And then I started rapping. And then she started singing. And she started rapping. Song after song. We talking about not just old school. We talking about 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, up until now. And all of those songs that have like that merit to it,
because we listened to it for that. We wanted, and if you didn't have that, if you didn't say something in the song that was gonna stick with me for more than you know the few hours I'm in the club, then that wasn't a hit.
Exactly, and see that's what made a good song, and people realized that at one point. So lyrically, people just started getting better and better, and not only were the melodies good and the tunes were good and everything, but the lyrics were amazing, and they told stories. And those stories are what brought you in. And people being able to identify with the story you're telling is what sold that album, and that's what cemented this person as a great. These motherfuckers ain't telling stories. They're on the mic saying, yada, 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 yada. What do you say? Mumble rap.
Broccoli.
How can you even, like, what are you relating to? What is the emotional attachment to that? Like, I don't get it.
Do you understand that we sound just like our fathers and uncles and mothers and grandmothers did?
But see, here's like the difference, and I could get that. Like, so like the songs from their youth that they used to listen to, it's not necessarily what I like, but I can put on like a Temptations album
and still rock out
because I can hear what they're saying, like they're speaking. They're saying something.
I had like
they're telling a story. I don't know what the fuck these. How can I bob my head? I don't know what you're saying.
I had a Jackie Wilson night the other day. I was in this joint, just rattling off Jackie Wilson songs left and right.
That's what I'm saying. But you can still do it, regardless of if we may not be able to bridge that gap. We may not be you may not be into what Elise is in. You may not be into what your mom is in. Your mom may not be into what her parents are in. But at least you have the opportunity to turn that album on, listen to those words, and say, I don't like this message, or I don't get it, or maybe I'm not a fan, or whatever. But you can at least listen to it. Right. What am I listening to? He's not saying anything. He said Berkeley.
And while I'm sitting here like thinking about the Jackie Wilson joke, like, do you realize some of the stuff they used to get away with saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that old man. So Jackie Wilson got a song called Dogging Me Around. And it's about a woman, you know, playing around on him or whatever. And the chorus goes something like, you better stop dogging me around. And if you don't stop, I'm going to have to put you down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's using the whole dogging metaphor. And then he said, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to put you down.
Oh, yeah. Put it down like a dog. Yeah.
And you can say that was a hit.
Yeah. It was a hit. Yeah. I'm just saying.
That was a hit. Well, yeah, I don't get it. I'm trying to get Jake Sinatra on the podcast. A dude I used to record with that I think is an incredible artist, but I think he does have some identity with some of this new music, and maybe he can help me understand. My homie Duck Sauce, Verb, I'd like to have all of them on the show. Because I know they have some appreciation for lyricism and some of the things that we mm-hmm. value in music, but they also are young enough to have an attachment to to what's going on now.
Yeah, and maybe they can bridge the gap. Like, let me know what's going on.
So I'm speaking directly to you. I'm gonna tag people when I start promoting this episode. Jake, Verb, Duck, love to have you on the show so we can discuss it.
This is random, has nothing to do with nothing, and it's tech talk. I know you hate tech talk.
I got some tech
talk. I wanted your opinion on this. All
right.
As you know, my phone is a bitch. I had this phone over 2 years. Still with the iPhone 6, y'all. Don't judge me. My phone crapped out on me. It's just not man cooperating. I'm running on limited apps to reset it. Didn't even put all my data back up there because every time I add one more app, it acts more of a prick.
Yeah.
So trying to decide what I want to do. Looked online, saw some options, figured out what Apple and Target and everybody else would give me for trading it in. Every single place I want to trade it in. Then I'm looking at other places like, what can I buy with this money, or without putting money to it, or if I got to put money to it, or so I'm not up for no upgrades right now.
Yeah.
Anything I get, I got to get out of pocket.
Right.
I'm not balling right now. I just bought the new car. You know, we got shit to take care of. We got some opportunities and some stuff that we're trying to do with the companies as well as our personal lives and businesses. So, you know, can't really stretch it right now.
Yeah.
So two of the options I saw that I'm down to. One, I know you're going to be like, what the fuck? BlackBerry Passport.
Okay.
Only reason I like the BlackBerry Passport. It's a dope phone. Solid phone. I think we're up to... Renee was like, what are you doing on your phone? And I listed off all of the email accounts that we now have at this point.
Yeah.
Personal plus business plus the day job plus the messaging plus the social factor of it.
Yeah.
When you think about it, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about it.
This is what I do.
We have a lot of social like accounts.
Hey, this is what I do all day. Yeah. I get up and I can check all my email. I got to go Twitter and see what's trending. See if I can pop something in there mm-hmm. on what's trending. I got to, you know, promote the episode or promote a playlist or, you know, and then I got to switch and do the same thing on Instagram. I got to switch and do the same thing on Facebook.
That's what I'm saying. So we got a lot. So right now, like, I can't even sign in. You saw me last night. I can't sign in. It took me till this afternoon to sign back in on Instagram. Still can't get on Twitter. Still, Facebook was blotchy. Had to delete the whole thing, put it back up there. And long story short, now I can access shit. Anyway, I need a new phone. So BlackBerry, it's made for messaging.
Right.
So at least I can knock all that out. Plus, it's a 1440 by 1440 touchscreen, and it runs the BlackBerry off of QNX, which means, it runs Android apps as well.
And that was a free-scale processor, right?
Yeah, exactly. So therefore, one, I'm supporting a company because my motherfucking company made the processors and the chips. Two, it still runs Android, so I'm not going without apps.
Yeah.
Second choice, V10. Can't go wrong with a V10.
Can't go wrong.
It's the older model, last year's model, but you can't go wrong. Especially
there's actually an argument it has a better camera than the V20.
Yeah, and then for the price, you can't go wrong.
Replaceable battery.
Yeah, exactly. And external SD,
yeah.
Up to 2 terabytes on a micro SD card.
Only thing I don't like about their external SD is that you have to take the battery out to access.
Yeah, I wish it was hot swappable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, so V10, can't go wrong with that. The specs are great across the board. It's a big phone. It's like 5.7 inches, damn near 6, but it's a big phone.
You get used to it, yeah.
And then the third option was the OnePlus 2.
Okay.
OnePlus 2, great phone. Nothing wrong with it.
What if they moved? Because I think, didn't Cyanogen mod?
Cyanogen cut, yeah. Cut and run.
So what are they? Oxygen OS.
Oxygen, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's still highly customized, all that extra crap, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, but, I hate to interrupt you. Mm-hmm. I hate to interrupt you. But, oh, shit, our intro just got delivered. So, I might have to check that out. We might have an actual intro for this episode.
Hallelujah.
But I'm sorry. So, we V10, Passport, V10.
Passport, V10.
And then OnePlus 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
they're all basically like the same price. Yeah. So
I'm a BlackBerry fan, and my only issue with BlackBerry was going to be app support, but if it was the Android based BlackBerry, then
yeah,
you're good.
So this one is, like I said, it's not Android based; it's BlackBerry 10, which is QNX based.
Okay,
but QNX runs the same backbone as it runs the same backbone as Android, so you can load APKs, which are Android apps.
Right,
it runs all BlackBerry apps and all Android.
I wonder how far the support is going to extend out, because we're so nougat,
that's,
and then you know who knows what's coming next. And at some point, mm-hmm. like how you know, because I know they made a change in the framework from. I'm trying to be techie and I'm not. Yeah, they made a change in the framework not too long ago. I can't remember what versions it was between.
So that's my only gripe with that. I love that. I think that with the keyboard plus the full 14x40 touch would be a great option.
I'm interested in new BlackBerries that you were shitting on when I showed it to you guys.
So. What's the M1?
The Mercury.
I'm interested in.
Yeah.
The D-Tech ones, I'm not interested in because they're TCL. They're like rebranded. The same Alcatel Pop that T-Mobile is selling as their entry-level phone is the same thing as that phone.
Yeah.
Only they put BlackBerry on the front.
Yeah. But it's still TCL. It's just TCL trying to be a little more high-end than they had previously been.
So, I mean.
And I like the V10, but the G6 is coming. Mm-hmm. HTC has one that's coming. I know I say HTC and you're probably like, nigga. But.
No, I mean, HTC historically has made great phones. Yeah.
They last two. I think the M9 and the M10 were
garbage. I mean, if I could swing it, I would just go straight like V20 or I'd probably get an iPhone 7 Plus or some shit.
I don't know enough about the...
I can't afford a brand new phone right now.
I don't know enough about the OnePlus. I think the V10 is a... So basically
the same specs. OnePlus, I don't know if you're into processors and crap like that. OnePlus is rocking the 810.
Snapdragon.
Yeah.
810.
Yeah.
It's the same processor as the V.
Yeah. So OnePlus is not. So the V10 is an 808.
Okay.
So OnePlus is 4 gigs RAM, 810, 64 gigs built in. V10 is an 808. 64 gigs, and then they both run the same Arduino graphics GPU, all that other crap, whatever that nobody cares about. But that's the only big difference. Both have the fingerprint scanner.
User replaceable battery on the OnePlus.
No, OnePlus does not have a user replaceable battery.
But it does have SD expansion.
I think the OnePlus 2 has dual SIM card. The OnePlus 3 has dual SIM and SD.
I don't know. I definitely have an SD in my V20. The battery thing. I don't ever keep a phone long enough for battery life to die. You know. But I guess if something did happen, if I did have a bad one or something, the fact that I'd be able to just buy another battery and swap.
At one point, that was a big thing for me. Right now, it really does not matter because I have an iPhone. I've never been able to change my battery. I've never been able to add a SIM card. I mean, a SD card. So it really doesn't matter to me. I'm going to be in the same boat.
I mean, I think that I am now. Where we are now in terms of all the stuff we do in social media, like to me, the SD card is coming in real handy because I'm taking more pictures than I've ever taken. I'm taking video.
So the thing that helps me with this is that I have that built-in 50 gigs of iCloud space. So I don't delete any of my pictures. And then what I like, every time I take a picture up here, forwards it to my iCloud, which downloads directly to my iPad, the Mac, and
you get
everything.
You get the same thing on Android with Google Photos.
See, my thing too is like I love Google. I just don't want to put I don't want to invest more into another ecosystem. It's like, then again, I can't really complain, but it's like, damn, how much more am I going to give Google? They already got all my shit. I go home, hey, Google, what's the weather? And she already reading shit off my phone. She reading my emails to me and all that shit. Oh, somebody text you, like.
Hey, man.
But, I mean, it is what it is.
You got to sell out at some point. I'm sold out. I'm Google to the death. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I worry about, like, if something ever does happen to Google, like, in terms of security or something, like, I'm fucked. Like,
yeah.
That's everything. I'm getting ready to buy a Nest. Like, if somebody ever, like, was able to figure all that shit out, they'd be, you know, controlling my thermostat, opening doors, turning on lights.
I tried to.
Reading emails, buying shit.
I went to a few websites. I ain't going to say online what websites they was, but I downloaded the apps for these sites and accounts. And I tried to sign in, and it kept telling me my password was wrong and my account information was wrong. I'm like, no, the fuck is not. Got tired of it. Sign in online. Google, put my password in for me. Sign me right in. I'm like, well, there you go.
There you go.
Easiest way to pay bills.
And then, you know, I've noticed it with all, because we're accessing the same account from, like, all these different devices. And then every time we access
it from a new device. And now I do it. Every time I sign in from my phone, it says you've accessed from a new device.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same goddamn device that was already pre-registered. But now I have to re-register all over again because it deleted the cache or whatever. It's motherfucking annoying. I can't do shit. Anyway, long story short, people, help me out. You got an opinion. I got to buy a phone. I need a motherfucking phone.
I'm going V10.
My shit talking. Look at this shit. This shit talking at the bottom. I need a phone.
I'm going V10. V10. I don't know enough about the OnePlus. I had a G4 or G3. I think I had a G. G something. This is my second LG, and they're pretty good. I love the battery life on this one.
God, I might go with the V10. And like I said, it takes up to 2 terabyte card.
Yeah.
You can get a 200 gig for like $60. Only downside, my Apple Watch doesn't work with it, which was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
But considering the fact that my phone has not been working properly for over a week, my watch is actually not even synced to my phone at this point.
Right.
I'm pretty much, for a week now, have been wearing my Apple Watch for the time.
But when you put the Apple Watch on Wi-Fi, you still have certain, you can still do something.
You can still do something. So I can still do shit with the watch. I can still do like all of the apps and everything that's up there.
Okay.
But basically I have to resync it with my phone. In order to resync it with my phone, it has to now wipe the watch, because all of the shit it wants to sync to is not on my phone, because nothing's on my damn phone. Which means I have to delete. I'm not going to delete all the apps and shit that I set up. So technically it doesn't matter if I get an Android phone, because I'm not syncing the watch to shit right now anyway.
Gotcha.
Still got my Mac, still got my iPad.
I hate Apple.
When Renee hears this, though, she's going to...
Apple, Cowboys, who do I hate more? Clearly the Cowboys, but Apple is right there. Mm-hmm. Apple is right there. But my piece of tech that, you know, if we're going to nerd it out, just do it. I got to get a Switch. I got to get a Nintendo Switch. Yeah. I've been watching videos like nonstop since Friday, and... I need this piece of tech in my life. Like, I need this system.
I think Nintendo's going to pull that bullshit, though. They're going to pull that bullshit. They're going to make the shit limited. It's going to be fucking ridiculous to try to get one. But I want one, too.
I want one. They doing no region
locking. What is it? March 3rd?
March 3rd. March 3rd, $300 for all they giving. Now, you know, clearly, like, the graphic capability is not going to be on par with the PS4 or Xbox One. But...
I think
it's going back to like that's what people are saying. Like, they're not trying to compete.
No, they're doing what they do.
Yeah, they're not trying to compete from a like technical standpoint with Sony and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. They're trying to compete from like pure gameplay, fun aspect. And I think I'm getting old. Like, this is back to me being old. I'm getting old to the point where I can't play these more. I wanted to get into Fallout. I wanted to get into Fallout. And
it's too much going on.
It's too much. I need one of them little, I need Mario Kart, or I need to do some punching or some dumb shit. You know, like, I need to have a dinner party
and we can play better games and shit like that. I'm not the only one. Because trying to control two different motherfucking joysticks at the same motherfucking time, with the precision that you need for this shit, plus hitting the other buttons, I feel like I'm throwing up gang signs and I'm trying to fucking do combinations and shit.
Give me my old Sega controller. I want the Sega days back. I want A, B, C.
Shit, I thought I was the shit when I got the motherfucking Sega Turbo controller with the A, B, C, and then the XYZ, and then they had the shoulder button at the top, and you can hit the slider for the turbo mode. I was fucking Street Fighter up. Telling you.
Every time I think I'm a nerd, Rich, you're like, you.
Everybody know about the 6-button Sega controller.
Oh, man. Fuck it. I got to get a Switch, though.
But yeah.
Yeah, if anybody, you know, hey, if anybody got the hookup.
So I'm trying to think of which. So we had this conversation earlier, too. Like, I'm on board with you getting the gray, like the all gray, just because that's going to be the base model. It is what it is. For some reason, I want a colored one, though. But I hate that it comes with one blue and one red instead of both. Now, they're saying that they're going to be selling joysticks separately, but are they selling the joysticks separately as a pair of blue or a pair of red? Or are they going to sell them separately as one and one?
I've seen it both ways. When I've looked at the accessories, I've seen it both ways. Like, you can buy one blue Joy-Con.
Oh, so they're selling them as one, not a pair.
They sell them both ways. You can get a pair, or you can buy just one. Like, you can buy, you know, you can buy them as a set. So my thing was to get the, I was going to get the gray and then buy like a set of the blues. I'm not a big fan of the red. But if I could only get a color,
it's like
one.
It's like a candy, like red.
From what I hear, color. Like it's neon, like it's bright.
Yeah, they said it's gonna, like neon. It's going to be a neon blue too, but that neon.
Yeah, I'm good with the blue. You know me, I'm blue. I'm good with the blue. I'm not a crip or nothing, though, but you know, I'm good with the blue.
Yeah, that's your color palette all day.
That's my color palette. But yeah, so that was my thing. Like, even if I had to get the colored one, then I'd probably end up getting like one extra blue and one extra red, so I could always just switch it out.
See, that's my thing too. Like, I'm, I gotta have like some symmetry there. Like, my, I need the symmetry. Eventually, my OCD would come. So this is the other thing. I found a great deal on a Galaxy S6 for $150.
Yeah.
Really great price. But it has a scratch on the corner of the right side of the screen. And it's not like it's a crazy scratch.
But it's a scratch.
But so I'm so OCD
exactly
that I can't dip. Okay, but
I'm with
150
you.
Is good.
I'm with you.
I
could only do the 150 if that was like a if that was gonna be like a bridge phone. That was like a get me over phone.
Yeah.
Like if my plan was to rock that until you know, I could get one of the new flagships. I could do it, but if I was paying the 150, and that was gonna be my phone for the next 2 years, nah, I couldn't do it.
No, I
couldn't do it.
I'm trying to force myself. I'm trying to tell myself, Rich, it's only a scratch.
Hey, we're gonna get this podcast popping.
It's only a scratch.
We're gonna get some advertisers. Hey, we doing reviews, man. Whatever. Send us the new phones. Yeah, we
reviewing. That's what we need to do.
Send me a Switch. We be getting the YouTube popping.
For real. Come on, I'll play some Switch.
Hey, we nerds. Just send us the tech. Any gadget you got, we'll review it for you. Free of charge.
I need a phone, people. I need a phone.
We need phones. I just want a phone. So, Rich need a phone. I want a phone. I want a Switch. I want a Switch. They got to find a better name because the shit is...
Yeah, like, it's weird. It's weird. Like, what?
I don't want to keep saying that.
Because you switch it up, I get it. Okay. I get the premise of it, but Switch. Like, I don't know. That's nightmares. Like when your grandma used to tell you to get a Switch. Yeah, like I don't know. Bringing back nightmares.
I don't know.
We've been talking for a while. Shit.
Yeah, this has been a dope episode. I feel good about this one. So we could probably start wrapping it up. As always, ttcharities.org. Mentioned it earlier in the podcast. I will mention it again. My brother Tavares, trying to get him on the show. Hopefully him and maybe one or two other people do like a panel on the next steps of what people can do or doing something, taking steps toward making some positive change out here. So, but ttcharities.org, please check it out. Go check out the website. Donate if you can. If you can't, check out the programs. You know, see if you can donate some time, clothing, toys, whatever it is that they have a need for at the time. You know, help him out because he's out here helping our people out. The Flint, Michigan situation is still real. We're talking about since 2014, they haven't had clean water. So, yeah, definitely ttcharities.org. Check them out. See what you can do. If you can't do anything, pass it on to someone else. Maybe they can. But let's take care of ourselves and take care of each other and be each other's keeper. And TWSMultimedia.com. That doesn't exist yet. TWS Multimedia, we got big things coming for you. I think we have some big announcements coming very soon. I won't put a day on them because, you know, I don't like to jinx it. But we have some big announcements coming for you very soon. Like I said, I got to check out this intro we had made and see if that's ready to go. We can add a little flair to the show. put a little polish. But yeah, I think that's all I got. It's another week. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Definitely happy MLK Day.
Before I say this, let me research it real quick. What is the state that don't celebrate? Is it Arizona?
Is it Arizona?
Or is it New Mexico?
I don't know.
I ain't gonna shit on nobody right now. But who won't take a day off? Whatever.
I don't know. My boss kindly emailed me to let me know.
Hey, we don't. Y'all don't get it.
We don't celebrate that day as a company, and I am expected at work. So
they were shocked when they found out at my company that we had. I knew for months that we was getting this day off, but they were having a discussion on Friday. Like, we don't have to come to work on Monday. Like, no, motherfucker, you don't.
It's lucky motherfucker. I gotta work. I'm
working. I'll be
working. And not exercising my drink.
Hey, I'll be working. I'll be up in the morning. I got promo to do for this episode. We gotta talk to the people. We gotta touch the people. Pause. And I'll be working. But big things coming, TWS Multimedia.
Wait on it.
What you got, Rich?
Not much. Just like I said, big things coming. We just gonna keep moving on through this year. Trucking full steam ahead. Like I said, hopefully we can be that light to shine a light for others. You know, spread that fire.
Be the light, people.
As always, this has been another episode of What is TWS Podcast.
Yup.
Peace.
Peace.